What's up, guys? To those of you who don't know, you should know. This is Classical Brian Leo from Philippine Wrestling Revolution, and you are listening to the SQP Podcast. Please like it, subscribe to it, download it. It is for your own good.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast, episode number 37. And we're opening this episode with a little bit of holiday cheer.
Yun.
You know, before we actually recorded, we got together and, well, two out of three people exchanged gifts.
I'm sorry that my paychecks have not come in and I haven't bought you gifts.
One of us just received gifts.
Hashtag freelancer.
Hashtag freelancer problems. But we'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays if you're listening to us close to the holidays.
Which I'm sure you are, because we are so close to the big day. I'm loving my gift right now. I'm actually looking at my Christmas gift from Ro. It's NXT Wade Barrett with the Bad News Barrett coat.
Action figure, Papi.
Yeah, it's an action figure. It's basically an action figure of Wade Barrett from his NXT days with a BNB coat. I love it. My collection of action figures is growing.
Mm.
And Ro got me, for some reason, Evan Bourne from 2010.
No, not is it 2010?
It's 2010. It's 2010.
Yeah, that's before the Air Boom days.
Before Air Boom.
Is it?
Yeah.
Check the bottom. Check the bottom.
I don't know.
See?
2010.
Yeah.
No, you know why I got you this? Because I don't know who you like. Say, there are no NXT toys yet. So I couldn't get you, Sami Zayn.
Full disclosure. Ro actually texted me last night. Sabi niya, do you know the other wrestlers Kamus
pulled for? Oh, papi, diba?
And then that's when I put two and two together. Wait, are you buying us gifts?
Yes, I am.
And no one told me we're supposed to do this exchange gift thing, but it's
now
okay.
I know why you got Evan Bourne.
Why?
I'm trying to put this two and two together.
Why?
In the words of Tov Lo, so you can stay high all the time.
Hindi, papi.
Hindi.
No, because I noticed that you tend to like the indie guys more.
Yeah,
and
I do.
Now Matt Sydal is an indie guy now.
Actually.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't know if you liked Sin Cara. And the Sin Cara action figure was too expensive. I would have bought it for myself.
It was
Sin Cara in white mystical hollers. White
Ooh,
and gold.
I like that.
And I would have bought that for myself, so fuck you. I don't know who would, if you would have liked him.
Give him back. It's okay.
He's paying with his we will upload. I will upload a photo on the Facebook page.
Matt Sydal versus. But,
by now you would have seen it when you, as you're listening to it.
Actually,
this.
Yeah. I got these guys gifts too. Like, I went to the NBA store, my first ever visit to the NBA store, and it was pretty easy actually. I didn't have to text any of these motherfuckers. Like, I know Ro likes the Bulls.
Yeah.
I know Kamus likes the Warriors. So it was, you know, it was just so easy to find something with those teams' logos on them and just, you know, have them wrap for them.
Thanks.
No, I wouldn't have asked, pero eto, his tastes are so obtuse.
And eclectic.
actually, it's a call for the WWE to finally get on your NXT Mattel figures. Because that shit is going to get popular, man.
Yeah, they should, especially after TakeOver, which was by far.
We are so going to get into that.
But let's just put it out there early on. TakeOver Our Evolution was
the show of the weekend.
Show
of the fucking year.
Okay.
Not enough? Show of the fucking year.
I won't go so far to say that yet.
Okay, I agree with it. Remove WrestleMania from the equation. Show of the year.
I think
wrestled show of the year.
Not just that. I think, although we do love our boy D-Bry, I think mas cathartic talaga yung our evolution.
Yeah.
No, it's our evolution.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
But we're
going to
get into that much later on in the show.
Later on.
Because we have had such a weekend in wrestling.
Yeah, it was quite the weekend for the Pinoy wrestling fan. I mean, you started off Friday morning, TakeOver Our Evolution. Saturday night, PWR Terminus. Monday morning, TLC and Stairs. Tuesday morning, you had Raw. And then today, we're recording on a Wednesday this week. This morning, Super SmackDown aired live. And word is that the main event of Super SmackDown is worth the watch. I haven't seen it myself. Ro has. I looked at your spoiler comment, so I will believe it. I will take your word for that. Mm.
And for change, SmackDown worth watching.
Mm. Well, yeah.
At least your main event.
At least your main event.
So let's talk about PWR first, because I think it does deserve to be talked about.
There's a lot that we haven't told you guys.
And that's why we have to address the elephant in the room.
Alright, no, it's not that we haven't told them. If they weren't there,
you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. Pero we told them anyway. Now you know, papi. Ika nga ni Manny Pacquiao. And the cat's out of the bag now. So these two motherfuckers sitting across me are now part and a visible part of the PWR company.
Yeah, apparently.
So, in big ways.
Very big ways. You know, they made me an offer I could not refuse, and that's how I basically signed on to be the general manager of PWR.
Who remember, likes to watch.
Yeah, I like to watch. Remember, guys, you better put on a good show every time, because every time the show goes on, I will be watching.
And my boy here is the official new voice of the PWR.
They made me an offer several days before.
Which you also could not refuse.
Which I could not refuse because they asked me, "Oh, Raf, ano, gusto mo bang ano, announce? Okay. You guys gonna pay me? We'll talk about that later." But hey, you know what?
You greedy fucker.
No.
Hey, you look like you had a good time.
Hashtag freelancer problems. But at the same time, I'd like to say that this is one of the dreams. Like getting the call.
That's the dream.
Jake De Leon is a fucking dream. I mean, no, actually, all the boys and
but
girls.
Again, he did not pull a Lillian.
Yeah. Thank God he didn't botch anyone.
Yeah, man, God. I would not let you hear the end of it.
I mean, you got everything from like from the hometowns. You know, the Camele Homes. Like, you got everything down, bro.
No, you're just basing that off the script. That's Nelson Jr., who did not appear.
Yeah, but you had it on the script.
I had it on the script. I did my research.
Tagakamele Homes Nelson Jr., you know? I mean, hey, you were able to call everything down pat from Cantotino, Barangay 69 to fucking San Juan, Batangas.
Well, to be fair to Camus, he does his homework. He did his homework. He prepared. He trained. Did you have to train?
I practiced the whole ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls for most of the day.
Yun.
Yeah,
he put in the work.
It's an example to all of you guys. If you put in the work, you take your vitamins,
you say your prayers, you stay in school.
What a fucking blowhard.
Eventually, you can be the next voice.
Okay, but the
of
question.
Some other promotion. I have this job for life now.
Or
until the PWR board or Mr. C over here decides to go in a different direction.
Yeah, keep kissing my ass.
All right, so the question now is, okay, what happens to the SGP podcast now that all three members are part of PWR? So I think nothing changes from here. I think being by virtue the hosts of this show, we cannot insult your intelligence and put on airs of being our characters.
Right.
Not that you have one.
No, not
have
yet.
One.
Pero if my character is not me, you know, if I'm unmasked, then I have
or
no
if you
choice.
Wear a mask.
No, if I wear a mask, that's a whole different story. But if it's unmasked, then it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, it's the same ballgame if I were unmasked.
True.
Yeah, so basically.
But we are not here to insult your intelligence, and
right.
We have been given free rein by the board or by the company to shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
Kumbaga.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for as long as we don't throw shade at anybody necessarily.
Yeah, without being, you know.
We're not here to play politics.
We're not, yeah, and we're here to be impartial analysts.
And at the end of the day, we still want to fulfill our goal of educating all of our listeners, which is you guys, the thinking Filipino wrestling fan. And as we said from the very first minute that this podcast aired, this is the Filipino wrestling podcast by the thinking fan for the thinking fan.
Yeah, so if you were ever worried, then don't worry. So there's nothing to worry about. We're still here for you. And
we never left.
Yeah. We're not gonna know. And any criticism we might have toward the PWR product, toward our own product,
is purely objective.
Yeah, it's purely objective. And it's said as valid criticism without, you know, without being personal or shit.
With a tinge of pagka fan.
Oh. If I were okay, yeah. We'll try to be commentating from the viewpoint of fans.
Because as of right now, none of us are actually wrestling.
But you guys are part of the story.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Sadly, it's part of the story.
So yeah, I guess that's pretty much us addressing the elephant in the room. And with that, let's talk about Terminus. It was a huge, huge success. I would like to say it was a success just because of the fact that I was there. That and the fact that, you know, we saw people who genuinely enjoy themselves. And let me just put it out there: there were legitimate celebrities who attended the event.
Yeah. DJ Tracy Abad.
Yeah, of course.
Of this radio station.
My homegirl, Tracy Abad, and her boyfriend, Quark Canaris.
The Quark Canaris.
He actually took an Instagram photo of the Chris Panzer from the second row. Of course, we can't miss out on Direk Nico Livelo.
Yon!
Who went up to me right after the end of the event, and you know, he shook my hand, thanked me, for having him over. And of course, we can't forget Dari Semania of Parokya ni Edgar.
Oh man.
Yeah, big time for that. Yeah.
He was in the front row and he was just smiling from ear to ear from start to finish.
And also, we had members of independent music, the boys of Imelda and She's Only 16 were in attendance.
Oh,
and
were they there?
They were there. Shout out you guys for showing up to the show.
We also can't forget Batas was also there.
Yeah, from Batas. Slip-top. Yeah.
So, you know, it was a very well-attended event, I guess, when it comes to the high-profile part.
Kaya ni Mayhem Brannigan, papi.
Oh, yeah. Mga connections ata ni Mayhem Brannigan. Now, you know, let's get to the show proper. We had 5 advertised matches, but we actually got 6.
Yep.
By the end of the night. They started off the show with Chris Panzer versus Ken Warren 2, a rematch from Renaissance. I enjoyed this match just because they really tried to one-up what they did from Renaissance.
And I know one day, Panzer's my homeboy. But one day he's gonna, you know, knock a tooth out or two from his next opponent.
I mean, like his super kicks. Oh, holy shit!
Not just that, his drop kicks connect.
Everything that he did that night was on spot, and fucking my boy Ken Warren just pulled the shit out of his ass, and it's just like left and right talking shit.
Do not sleep
while delivering the pain.
Do not sleep on Ken Warren and Chris Panzer. They put out a really, really great rematch. No? And will there be a rubber match? We'll see.
Hey, this has to be said about Ken Warren. He's one of the better heels in the company now. He knows how to flesh out his character, and his mic game has improved. And we've seen it firsthand dito sa podcast. Mm-hmm. And I've told him personally, now, you know, I like the way that you're handling yourself on the mic. You just better keep it up, and you'll be going places.
Man.
So, you know, a word to the wise: stick to the improving and keep working at it, man.
Next match,
one of the crowd pleasers of the night, no doubt. Handicap match between Main Max and Canto Terror, and Canto Terror's new tag team partner, D. Nelson Jr., wasn't able to attend. He was replaced by one of my kabayans, papi, from San Juan, Batangas. No, dude. From San Juan, Batangas. His name is Mark D. Manalo.
Okay, debut of the night? Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, who else debuted?
We'll get into that later.
Dude, we debuted that night.
We debuted. Well, we did. But at the same time, I'd say that Mark D. Manalo, his Randy Orton impression.
His Stone Cold impression.
No, the Stone Cold impression on spot. The Randy Orton impression into, oh my God, it's Max.
Yeah, that was the best. That was the best.
One of my favorite moments of the night.
I love how he really got the Batangueño accent spot on. He was like, alay ako po si Mark D. Manalo.
I've already talked to my homeboy, Mark D. Manalo. He's my homeboy. And for sure na,
everyone's your homeboy.
Kasi everyone,
paglaki ko po, gusto ko po maging si Stone Cold. That was funny as shit.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, he is going to be a certain future podcast guest.
Okay.
For sure, Nan.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be, you know, just have the combine over.
I want to know more about him because As the announcer, the most I got out of him was I didn't get anything out of him. I wanted to get, what I did with another debuting wrestler, I wanted to get that out of him, but,
you know, Mark D. Manalo, he also got a Lito chant. A Lito chant because of that floral shirt he was wearing in the crowd. It's really funny because when you watch the show, let's say you watch it from the very beginning, you probably would notice the guy in the floral shirt, but you wouldn't think that the guy could actually wrestle. And then he gets in and he actually strips off his shirt and then he tries to wrestle with Main Max. Now, Main Max got the win, convincingly, mind you. But of course, it didn't come without the theatrics and the entertainment associated with Canto Terror.
Oh God, Canto. Okay, Katie's our boy, and I fucking love the entrance now. But he's one thing I noticed. He switched out for Pale Pilsen, guys.
Oh, he did.
He did that, and I think that might have led to the loss this week, this past show.
See, I want to see Canto Terror in luchador mode. So next time they should just. I'm going to make sure that he drinks tequila next time.
Really?
Because he goes on luchador mode.
Okay, he's going to give him tequila because he's a boss.
But, you know, what are you going to give him, a shot or a bottle?
I'm going to give him the fucking bottle, man.
You know, I'm scared. I'm scared to see what will happen because, like, good Lord, that he had, like, one San Mig in hand. One San Mig Pale Pilsen in hand and he was already hurt.
I mean, so, after a bottle, he'll probably be going, Olé!
Well, I'd love it. Would be a good excuse to get the Olé chant going.
No, we have an Olé chant going.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's pretty good.
Olé, Olé, Olé,
Olé. That was pretty good. But, I like that.
But all kidding aside, really well-paced match. Good action.
It was entertaining.
Entertaining, and Max kicked the shit out of all of them.
As he should. Next match of the night, the main event was actually preempted. It happened midway through the show. You had Classical Brian Leo taking on Bombay Suarez in what ended as a draw.
Before we get to that, MVP of the evening.
Tita Panzer.
Mama Panzer.
Yo.
Tita Panzer.
Mama Panzer.
Tita Panzer.
Kumi Mami D. Mi Mami P.
Yo, Mama Panzer stole the show. We had no fucking idea that Mama Panzer would flip a switch and literally flip out.
I was so fucking scared that, you know, they might, she and Scarlett might get into a legit brawl at ringside.
It's still real to her, damn it.
For those of you who weren't at the show, just so you know, the sequence of events happened as such. Brian Leo came out to cut a promo, and Mama Panzer started to lose her shit midway through. Like, she couldn't take all the insults that Brian was dishing out.
So, kung sabihin ka naman na pok, di ba?
And then, no, diba? she really took offense to it, and as he was exiting the ring, for some reason or another, she really flipped the switch and took it out on Scarlett.
How did it happen, ba? I didn't see the whole thing. I only saw it as they were getting into it.
Yeah, hold on.
Okay. From my vantage point, what I saw was I had just announced the match for Brian Leo and Bombay after they said, okay, we're gonna do this early. So once I did the introductions, I stepped out of the ring and then Scarlett steps out of the ring on the other side.
Okay.
And then she starts playing to the crowd a bit, and then I see Mama Panzer start to Mama Panzer's area starts to stand up. And then I'm just like, whoa, wait.
What's going on?
And then I see our PWR security staff approach her, and I'm just like, start trying to calm her down. And then I'm like, holy shit, is this actually happening? At which point, you know, they took control of the situation. Good job, by the way, to our security staff.
Yeah. They really. I hope they actually explain something there, or someone gives more savvy to the show, like sitting right next to her, explain it to her how things actually go down in wrestling.
Yeah, and then it happened around the time that Bombay dropped Leo on his head.
Yeah,
and then causing Leo's injury.
Yo, that was a very, very good spot.
Very good spot that, you know, caught a lot of us off guard. But
yeah, I mean, like, okay, I'm going to say it right now. We are all privy to the script, but we never knew it was happening.
Yeah, we didn't know that was
going. I thought it was fucking legit, man.
And Everybody thought it was legit.
I was manning the sound booth, and I didn't know if I was going to play any music or what was going to happen now. Parang shit.
There was a long, awkward silence.
And then he got...
Tracy was texting me, and she was like, dude, is he legit injured?
And then he got up. My boy, Brian Leo, got up.
And kicked Bombay. And hit Bombay, and it was like...
It was a holy shit moment.
If you're Daniel Bryan and you do that, you're regarded as a strong face.
Right.
But if you're fucking Brian Leo...
That was major heel heat, major brother.
And I told him, you are a fucking genius. I told him that after the show.
That was fucking, you know, he was surprised. He himself was surprised it got fucking over the way it did. And I just got to hand it to them that it was very well played, gentlemen.
He, you know, he played it so well.
Both of them played it so well.
Yeah.
You know, Bombay trying to get the crowd to go, Brian!
Yeah, Leo. Yeah. And I thought that was really awkward.
Yeah, because he was awkward.
He broke character. Oh, shit. Like, already?
Ang awkward ni Bombay noon. Like, you could tell na parang nangangapa din siya kasi he was also nervous. And for him to have actually been in on it. Brilliant.
Bastards.
Brilliant. Of course,
this match
hiding it even from the NA.
From us.
Yeah. Of course, the match did end in a draw, yep. And it led to the very first ever PWR tag team match.
Hala hala!
You should have gone with the hala.
You should have.
I was trying to be myself. Because at the time, I didn't know that I'll be watching would get over. I didn't know that I would be received warmly. Like, I from the moment over hit, I thought I was going to get booed out of there. Like, let me just put it out there. I thought I was gonna get X-Pac heat or something.
So you did back at WWFX.
Because I did, exactly. You know, I've been booed at the Big Dome, so I thought I would be booed at MCS, but I didn't. So,
to be fair, because you're the first authority figure at PWR who was actually there live and in the flesh.
I guess so. So, you know, I got to respect the fans for that. So I tried not to heal it up too much or not to heal it up at all. Anyway, the tag team main event became Bombay Suarez and JDL taking on Classical Brian Leo and Main Max. But before we talk about that, let's get to the False Count Anywhere match between Mayhem Brannigan and The Apocalypse, a match which featured... spots involving tables, the steps, thumbtacks, the second thumb floor, oh, among other things.
A Singapore cane.
Singapore canes were involved.
God!
The thumbtacks, though, parang I told Mayhem after the match, like, you are fucking crazy. Like,
what was that other thing? The
tray.
Pad.
The cookie
baking
tray.
Oh, the cookie tray.
You know, man, that's typical, ne?
No, but it was just... Oh, man. Okay, for a lot of us who have only seen WWE product, live here in the Philippines, and this might have been your first hardcore match ever. And holy shit, these guys turned it up to 11.
Yeah, did they do a hardcore match in WWFX?
No, False Count Anywhere. The one between Carlito and Snitsky.
Yeah.
But this one was wow, man. They fought in the crowd. They fought on the second floor, and it was just, you know, it's not what you'd expect.
Hey, Apocalypse!
They almost threw each other off the second floor.
Yeah, they almost did. Apocalypse legitimately wounded himself with the thumbtacks as well.
Yeah.
So you know the photos are on Facebook. So if you want to check them out, you know,
you want to see gore.
And for those of you who still think wrestling is fake. Look at those wounds on the Apocalypse's arm.
For those who still think wrestling is fake, Mayhem said after the show that it was only during his shower that the thumbtacks finally got at him.
Oh, shit. So now you know, and knowing is half the battle. All right, the penultimate match from Terminus was the PWR Bootcamp Challenge featuring...
Sorry, I totally forgot that debut. My bad.
Yeah.
That's the debut
featuring the Senorita Jake De Leon and John Sebastian.
John.
PWR Bootcamp.
My homeboy, John Sebastian. I'm sorry, I totally forgot.
Yeah, John Sebastian was out there to make an impression. He didn't care if you liked him or not. He was out there to make an impact.
He came out to fucking JDL's music, man. That's making a statement.
And that's boring. Balls right there. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of John Cena's debut against Kurt
Ruthless
Angle.
Ruthless aggression.
That's exactly what it reminded me
of. And for his to his credit, John Sebastian took JDL, to sort of his limit.
You know, the highlight of that match for me was that beautiful spine buster that JDL delivered to John Sebastian. It was picture perfect.
Maganda nga.
Yeah, so it was just absolutely brilliant
John Sebastian did held up his end. He wrestled a good match as well, no?
And
guys, if you're thinking of joining the boot camp, this is what you can learn, man.
This is what...
If you put your effort into it, if you put work into it, if you listen and if you want to learn... Yeah, that's what you can do, bro.
You can be in the ring.
Yeah, and this is what our boy Ro will be doing in the near future.
That's what he's aspiring to do. All right,
consider that the boot camp is only like, 3 months old?
Yeah. And think just where you can go with this. And I know there are a lot of aspiring guys who, after watching this show, have actually brought up the idea of, hey man, I want to wrestle.
Oh,
yeah, you know, these guys are asking their girlfriends and their wives.
Yeah. And like, people are hitting me up on Facebook now. It's like, holy shit, I want to be a wrestler too. And I told them, well, guys, wait for boot camp. It's coming.
Yun.
It's coming next year.
It's not enough, though. It's easy to say, it's easy to join, but it's not enough. It's yeah, not that hard to, it's not that easy to maintain.
And our boy MDJ just wrote an article. Very good article.
Which we have been sharing on social media.
Yeah, very good article about his 3 week.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was not able to stay longer than 3 weeks due to the real reason is that he has a family to take care of and to spend time with. And it's a priority thing,
and we respect that. We respect that.
Yeah,
and our boy,
and we miss him. Yeah, at the boot camp.
Like, it's the first time I really met him in person, and I can say that MDJ is a really stand up guy. And should I ever need security, man, I am going to this man.
Bakit papi, Mr. Shiga ba?
No, but
you don't need security.
I mean, I took a lot of shit from Brian Leo.
Everybody takes shit from Brian Leo.
He didn't shit on
you. Even I got shit from Brian Leo.
Oh, I got shit from Brian Leo, but I threw it back in his face when I told him to get his ass out there.
Yeah, but you see, I'm supposed to be neutral. I'm supposed to be just, you know.
Too bad.
So, you know, if ever it comes down to it, MDJ, you're my man for this.
You have to ask Z then, dude.
I do have to ask Z.
That's Mrs. MDJ, bro.
Mrs. MDJ, if you're listening.
All right.
I'm picking your husband in the near future.
Of course, we digress from the JDL match. JDL did defeat John Sebastian. It was an admirable outing, nonetheless, from John Sebastian. And the main event. Main event, Bombay and JDL taking on classical Brian Leo and Main Max.
JDL wrestling back-to-back matches, papi.
Yeah, that's some hardcore stamina for you.
Not just that, but he's like, we don't talk about it a lot, but JDL, a lot of people think this guy is out of shape. Hell no.
He's a legit athlete.
I told you that.
I told you he can move. He can move like the best of. He's the best of us in moving around the ring.
You know, I'm glad he proved me wrong, because when I saw him, I really thought, nah, he wasn't one of the better athletes on the roster.
He's coming for you, nigga.
No, I'm so glad he proved me wrong. I was watching him. That's how he proved me wrong.
He's coming for you.
There were some shenanigans that went on in that match. We saw the Apocalypse and Mayhem Brannigan get involved. Ultimately, though, Bombay and JDL got the win. They pulled out their finishers, their signature moves. Bombay and JDL at one point even both spat in the face of Brian Leo.
With the mist.
Right.
With the mist.
Because he wasn't cool.
But one spot we're forgetting about is the Dudley Death Drop.
Yeah, that's right.
3D. I fucking love the 3D. That perfect. They dropped is
no, but I like their finisher better. Then.
Well, their finishers aside, but the 3D tribute. I mean, if these two become a legit tag team in the future, should there be a tag team division?
Uh huh. I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm listening.
He's not just watching; he's also listening.
Yeah, to the podcast, dumbass.
I really want to see a tag team division, and if these two decide to go in that route, or should they go for the? Well, as opposed to going for the PWR Championship, which I hear is in production.
You're damn right it is.
They would make a formidable tag team. Like, top of the division. Straight away.
All right.
Let's go ahead and championship.
Yeah, we have a lot of issues to work out, not all of which I can disclose on the podcast as early as now, because, you know, that's still in development. Speaking of development, though... Man, I want to talk about NXT now.
Go on again.
I want to talk about it last.
Really? Oh, fine.
Because,
DLC,
okay, guys.
DLC,
okay. We did say last week that this would be one of the biggest weeks in wrestling for a Pinoy fan. And it has.
It did, yeah, man.
But let's save the best for last.
Fine.
Let's save the best
now, for last. Before we get into anything, we have to thank all the boys and the girls who said hi.
Oh, yeah.
Because we kept asking
people.
We kept asking people to say hi after the show, during the show, before the show. You know, we had people like John Sags, people like Martin Vicencio. Thanks, guys, for, you know, coming up. And
finally met the Slick Master.
Yeah, we also met the Slick Master. Of course, Mike Bueza was there. MDJ was there.
MDJ was there.
Yeah.
MDJ. MDJ is always around.
We met Hub. We met, you know, a whole bunch of people who listen to the podcast, and it just warms the heart to know that people actually know our segments like spots and botches.
And we're sorry we haven't done one in a while.
Yeah, we haven't done one in a while, but, you know, it without saying, it goes without saying that we really appreciate it. And nakakapagpakumbaba din siya.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
From the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, I never realized that there would come a day that people would actually walk up to me and, hey, Ro, Mr. Moran, I'm you know, this and that, you know. It's so awesome. The feeling is so awesome.
And this is what we've been trying to do, you know, since day one, exactly. This is what we really wanted to achieve, to get Pinoy wrestling fans to come together and be a community. And step by step, we're achieving that. So thank you for being a part of that. It really means the world to us. And I hope that it also means the world to you.
And not just that. We'd also like to thank you for supporting PWR. Whether you really did want to see the show or for one reason or another, we really do thank you for all the support. Because PWR needs the support it can get if it wants to have a foothold here in the country. Because this is the thing that we Filipino wrestling fans have been clamoring for. We need to see more actual wrestling on our land. Right?
In person.
Exactly.
And it's actually happening.
We cannot just keep counting on, you know, the WWE or whoever else is from the States or from Japan to come here and wrestle for us. This is actually us trying to take back Philippine wrestling for us.
And we're doing it. And like I said at Terminus, we proved we're alive, and now we're proving we're here to stay.
Yeah, so thank you all for coming out to PWR Terminus.
Give yourselves a round of
applause. We say this as part of the SGV podcast, and we say this as part of PWR. Yep.
And, you know, most importantly, as Pinoy wrestling fans.
Yun, papi.
All right, so now that we've, you know, gotten to our thank yous, gotten that out of the way, let's talk about a very underwhelming TLC and S.
Now,
TLC and S, TLC and stairs and barriers and kendo sticks and LCD TVs.
Yeah. Oh, good.
And all this other shit that just went down.
Yeah. I mean, with the gimmick matches, we understand that it can get underwhelming at times, but then this pay-per-view just really under-delivered, in my opinion.
I mean, from the get-go pa lang, the main event was already watered down kasi it's a TLC match between Ambrose and Wyatt, and then you've already seen a ladder match between Ziggler and Harper. You saw a chairs match between Ryback and Kane, which I didn't catch, by the way, because I used it as my bathroom break to take a shit. And then Ro said, no, to, real talk. And Ro said, you didn't miss much.
Did I have to hear that, though?
You didn't miss much. Ryback just beat Kane. I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't regret it. And then we saw a tables match between Cena and Rollins. So,
which is okay.
Which is actually pretty okay.
Yeah, the ladder match and the tables match, both of them were good. Kaso gets one. Joe the Grappler said it himself. You saturated the TLC
Why are you
match.
Pointing to me?
I'm not pointing at you. What the fuck?
You pointed in his general direction.
Yeah,
I'm doing hand gestures.
Are you
what
assuming
the fuck?
That he's...
Yeah, what are you implying, man?
I'm not implying anything in the least bit. Now, if Joe the Grappler wants to come out here and out himself, then that's on him. Again, I'll be watching when that happens.
I think we do need to get Ryan on here to settle that, Tabi.
Yeah, because he's the only one who actually interacts with the motherfucker.
Anyway, sorry, you're saying.
We're getting sidetracked.
Right. So that underwhelming main event. But some of the matches were actually worth talking about.
No, the thing about the main event is that are we talking about now or how are we talking about the show?
Let's just talk about it randomly. I don't want to run through it.
Fair enough. Well, the thing about the main event is that it could have been great, but the crowd was dead.
I was dead.
Yeah, I was dead as well. Not just because I saw ladders being used, tables being used, chairs being used, you know, all throughout the show. But it's more of, okay, this is the last stretch. Let's just get this over with. I'm sorry, Dean and Bray. I'm happy that you guys got the main event spot.
Which is in itself a good thing.
Although, is it though, looking back at it, parang they got outclassed by Cena and Seth. Although, if you think about it,
up until the finish, it was a good match.
If Cena and Seth were in their place, would they have gotten, you know, the same dead reaction?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so because the kids would still be waiting for Cena.
That's true. And yeah, so I think that was weird. Why did they, not that I'm complaining, but why did they put Cena and Seth in the middle? Is it to, I don't know, kill momentum?
Is it deliberate sabotage?
Honestly,
I honestly think that, you know, it was intentional, but at the same time, they knew that the Wyatt-Dean Ambrose match would have just been a lot better.
Or that and maybe the fact that nobody would have wanted to see Cena win.
I think that's a factor. That's a factor. Definitely factor yun. Pero feeling ko, in three main matches nila, the ladder match, the tables match, and the TLC match, they wanted to spread them out as much as possible. So they opened with the ladder match. And then in tables match, they had to make it open the second hour para there's something highlight worthy from that second hour. And then they had to close it with the TLC match. Because in the first place...
I think you could have interchanged, though, the TLC match and the tables match.
I think they could have, too.
But the thing is, it's TLC and S.
Yeah, I get it again.
Not ladders and stairs, not...
Speaking of yung feud na Ambrose and Wyatt yung pinakamatagal. Like, it's the feud that's been running the longest, and that's why I think that also explains why they main evented the show.
Yet, you get exploding TVs. Yeah.
That was weird. Yeah. That was honestly weird.
Again, the only way you could have saved that finish is if you explained it as Bray causing it with his magical demon powers.
Which they should have gone with.
Yeah, diba? It was a layup.
Actually. All they had to do was oop it.
Oh, papi.
But then, we're ignoring one thing.
What else?
The ladder match. We haven't talked about it at all.
Nothing needs to be said about it because
it was
nice.
Brilliant.
So brilliant. And it was like...
And it opened the show.
And I had high expectations for the rest of the show because the backstage news was they really wanted to one-up NXT or Evolution.
But no...
And Dolph, to his credit, is trying.
He tried to, yeah. He's
grabbing for that brass ring.
You know, see, Dolph Ziggler, I can probably compare him to Coach Brad Stevens of the Celtics. You know, he's probably not going to win, but really? Dolph Ziggler and Brad Stevens are trying to win every fucking game.
But you know what?
I get it. I like it. But
Brad reaching.
Stevens? Brad
reach.
Stevens, dude. Yeah,
it's a bit of a reach.
No, but hey, I would like to say, though, that it wasn't good for them to open the show with Dolph and Harper, because
it wasn't the tone setter, though.
Huh?
It wasn't the tone setter
exactly.
That it was supposed to be.
Exactly, because I think most of us already knew that it was going to be downhill from there.
So would you rather have the Usos and the Miz and Miz Dow team, open the match?
I don't see why not.
It was actually a decent match.
Yeah, it was a decent match. They could be trusted to put out a decent match.
Just a wonky finish.
Yeah.
Sadly.
It's kind of weird. You finish no match name.
I would have if I were them, I would have gotten the stairs match out of the way, or the chairs match
out of the way first.
Speaking of the stairs match, it was decent enough for what it was.
Yeah,
but the finish was so stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's like Big Show just uses the stairs for the pin.
Okay, here's the thing about the pin. I know that most of you think that you can just lay on top of your opponent and that counts as a pin.
Uh-huh.
But no, you have to actually pin the shoulders, and that's what they've been teaching us at the boot camp. Sorry, cheap plug, but. And what Big Show did, he did put the stairs over Roman's body, but he never ever pinned his shoulders down. So by the when you saw it, you can see it that
I saw it
before the ref even counted three. You know, Roman was reaching up with his arms and like, okay, shouldn't you break the count there?
Yeah, that was very, very weird. And I guess on Eric Rowan's part, dapat tumiga na lang siya, should have laid down, diba?
Yeah, he should have at least gone with it, no?
Yeah, so. I don't know. I don't want to talk about the Rusev Swagger thing anymore. It's parang yun yun eh. You know. I mean, yeah. I don't want to talk about Rusev and Swagger anymore because it was rehashed. They didn't even recycle. They didn't even use yung momentum sana which they could have gotten from the Survivor Series team, which Swagger was supposedly a part of.
Sadly.
You know,
and Zeb didn't do shit.
Yeah, he wasn't in
wasn't
the feud
because he was in a storyline injured. Fuck Zeb.
It would have been cool.
Fuck Zeb anyway. Fuck him.
Really?
So much pot.
Racist Zeb.
Racist Uncle Zeb. He does nothing for Swagger.
How about the Divas match though? I feel like they weren't given enough time.
They should have been given at least 10 minutes. Because you know we shit on the Divas division a lot because they're not given time. But you know you give them 10 minutes. 10 minutes. In a 3-hour show, they could actually do something relevant for a change.
It's
yeah,
sad.
For some reason, yeah.
It's sad, but it needs to be said. I miss the Authority.
But I never wanted them to leave in the first place.
Yeah,
they were needed
I.
as they were great heels.
Actually, yeah. You know what? About a month ago, I said it. I said it that, you know, this is going to be the best thing for them. And look how downhill we've gone.
The power vacuum is really exposing
is exposed,
yung lack of depth, I guess.
For
no, they could have
figures.
Tried it. Kasi,
But they re- okay. This no. whole this whole general okay because we're already dipping into Raw a bit.
Yeah.
The Raw after this whole general manager power figure authority figure vacuum is just leading to weird things happening.
Now the thing was, we needed more of the kind of general managing that Brian brought at the first week of Raw after Survivor Series.
True.
We needed that because if you were going to change things, you would have started with that.
Basically, now, have a now man the
heels,
of the people.
Now the heels are getting punished, and then everyone, everything is fair and just now.
And then you figure out what to move
yeah,
on
but
to
then,
next.
You know, the anonymous Raw GM happened, and it looked like we were just...
and when then he Santino was, happened.
No. And the anonymous Raw GM just did more of authority things. But okay, what changed here?
Oh, no. Yeah, I get that. You know, we haven't talked about Roman Reigns. Damn it, Joe. Roman Reigns appeared at both Our Evolution and at TLCNS. Fucking Superstar of the Year. Didn't fucking do anything.
Okay, you know what? Roman Reigns, as pushed as he is getting, he is not doing jack shit.
I'm turning on Roman Reigns already.
I turned on him when Seth did. I don't like him.
Like, I feel myself cringing every time he appears because I really feel him being shoved down my throat. And that's not a good thing.
And you know what? Okay, it made sense for him to be at Our Evolution because, hey, he's based in Florida.
He got his facts wrong. What the fuck? Daniel Bryan's the first NXT alum to be WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
That's for a later discussion.
No, people like to argue that, okay, obviously he means that NXT as a brand.
As the brand now.
But fuck it, come on.
No, still.
Daniel Bryan's in NXT alone.
Yeah, parang it's not that hard to win. Parang
pinpoint.
Yeah. People still remember him as an NXT alumni. Alumnus.
But that's the thing. That's the thing that we're getting at here. Is that the main point is Roman's being shoved down our throats.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not good.
Well.
It's not believable.
Dude did win Superstar of the Year legit.
Fuck you, WWE Universe.
I don't believe that.
Fuck you, universe.
I do think, actually, that people are actually stupid enough to...
So people are stupid enough to vote for him?
I guess.
Dude, come on. Our own voting for the SGP Awards has been fucked up.
Okay, hey, we've done the preliminary polls on most of the...
Some of you got it right. Some of you
are really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Some of you legitimately have bad taste.
Sorry.
Or really good taste that it's really hard to understand for these two fuckers. But
fuck you, man.
We'll get into that on our next show.
Yeah.
SGP. Because the SGP Awards show is coming up next.
And that's what we've got lined up for the holidays because we never stop. Wrestling never stops. Anyway, we're going to be talking about NXT TakeOver Our Evolution in just a bit. But right now, we got to take a break. We've obviously been saving the best for last, so let's just...
Damn right.
Get right to it. Let's talk about NXT TakeOver Our Evolution. Lots of big things happening. Let's start off with the announcement from Corey Graves. Now, if you've been watching NXT from as early as 2012, 2013, you probably have been missing Corey Graves for quite some time. And now we all know he has retired from active competition because of his concussions, and he's now the newest member of the NXT commentary table.
And he's not doing such a bad job.
Yeah, for a beginner, he was actually doing pretty well. So I'm liking what I'm hearing so far. I think he has a bit of potential, and I'd love to hear more on commentary moving forward.
I mean, Alex Riley set up, I'd say, half of his comments.
Actually, napansin ko rin yun.
Napansin ko rin. But it's really good to hear another perspective from a former talent.
I did miss Renee, though.
Oh, yeah.
I missed Renee a lot. Yeah. Kasi, okay, sorry, guys, but all three guys. I don't know why, what it is about NXT, but a lot of the guys, except Jason Albert, sound the same. I don't know why.
Was he Byron? Byron?
No, but he still sounds... They all sound homogenous, yeah.
But, okay, Corey Graves, I'd say his call for most of the matches was pretty good for a first
time. Yeah, it was good. He did his job. He did not reach too far out. You know, he did not overstep his boundaries.
That he's a good third voice next to Brennan and Arai.
Right, and it's nice of WWE to be giving him another opportunity to continue with the company.
He signed a 2-year contract.
Yeah, so
a new one.
Thanks, Hunter. G- Good Guy Hunter.
Good Guy Hunter.
Good Guy Hunter.
Now, Hunter has a lot of things that, you know, he did well when it comes to our evolution, which we fans are very much thankful for. Among them, the debut of Kevin Owens.
Holy shit!
What did we say about Kevin Owens?
Holy shit! Guys, we said this man is a dangerous man. The promo said he is here to change things, and boy,
fight everyone.
Boy, did he fuck up CJ Parker.
Dude, his nose got fucked up too, and I'm talking about Kevin Owens.
That was Parker's fault.
That was Parker's fault. I mean, the bomb strike on its own is a very iffy finisher, or even using it in your repertoire.
Right.
It's not advisable, and for all you aspiring wrestlers, watch this match and see the pictures.
It's his
after.
Fault. Yeah, man.
It's CJ Parker's fault, yes, but okay. How metal does it get that Kevin Owens comes out to the most badass, like, not even squash it.
He didn't squash CJ Parker,
but pretty much very dominant showing, and he bleeds on his first match.
Right, right. And I think it was...
Goddamn, son.
I think it was a very good way of establishing the Kevin Owens character, especially for both newcomer fans to Kevin Owens. Like, I will admit that was the very first time I'd seen Kevin Owens on TV. And as opposed to Camus over here, who's seen Kevin Owens since he was Kevin Steen.
Myself as well.
And the thing is, Kevin Steen versus Kevin Owens, the parallelism is not, you know, it's not that far off. It's not that parallel. It's very one in the same. Kevin Owens pulled out a lot of moves that you'd see Kevin Steen do, like the cannonball into the corner.
Wait, before we even get into Kevin Owens' moves, we have to say Kevin Steen is in the best shape of his life right
now. Holy shit. But Kevin Steen, the person.
For those who have not seen, like Stan, who have not seen Kevin Steen before, he was a fat ass. And
honestly, he was Jason Albert fat.
No, he wasn't even Jason Albert fat. Jason Albert is imposing, eh?
Yeah.
He's huge, but he's chubby, but he's still imposing.
Yeah.
Kevin Steen was more of the... He looked more like a guy who was a slob and then wandered into a wrestling ring to train.
But holy shit.
Better now, he's looking so slim, looking so... Not ripped yet, but... Parang, wow, okay, I can believe that this guy looks more like a wrestler.
I mean, if last week I said that Main Max looked like he lost a lot of weight,
oh,
Kevin Owens has lost a lot of weight.
Oh, papi. For sure, yeah. For sure that Kevin Owens lost a lot of weight.
And then the thing is, he hasn't lost anything with this weight loss.
He moves even better now.
Exactly.
He moves even better now.
And yeah, a lot of his signature offense, I mean, he fucking pulled a plancha. When was the last time you saw a guy that big pull a plancha?
Yeah, this guy's a 260-pounder.
Yeah.
And speaking of his moves, back in the indies, he would just do whatever he wanted, right?
Exactly.
And now, he's even better.
He's controlled rage.
Yeah, it's like the WWE style. The WWE style is really good for indie wrestlers who, you know, like to do shit
wild
just for the sake of.
Yeah.
If Kevin Owens was in NXT doing, you know, a whole lot of things he was
doing,
he liked to do, you wouldn't really take him seriously.
True.
But now that he's more of controlled rage, now that he's more focused in the ring, he's more believable as a legit threat, as someone you don't even want to mess with.
Yeah, and I think they've made that point pretty clear. They've established that very well throughout the entire show, that Kevin Owens is one badass dude that nobody should ever piss off.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves again.
We are getting ahead of ourselves. So, you know, we've marked out now to Kevin Owens. There's more Kevin Owens to go on in this show. But let's talk about first that quick tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. Oh, I was kind of surprised that the match was this quick lang between the Vaudevillains and the Lucha Dragons. Like, you would have think that for a feud that has been as drawn out as theirs, you know, the Lucha Dragons could have had more of a comeuppance towards the Vaudevillains.
Yeah, you would. But the thing is, they did their job. They did their job on the card. It was an exciting match. Both teams got in a lot of good offense.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, the Vaudevillains look like the best contenders moving forward still after this match.
So I hope they extend the feud. I know it's not yet over.
Yeah, for sure. I told you I told you it was not going to be over yet.
Yeah. I know. And we believed.
We believed.
Pero siyempre, I still stood by yung prediction ko at the time na the Lucha Dragons are better off as face challengers.
It was true. What it was. They knew that it was not the biggest feud on the show.
Yeah.
It would not even be the biggest match on the show, even though all four men are obviously talented. But
it did its job.
It knew what its role was supposed to be.
Yeah. And that's part of what makes the booking of the entire show really great.
Because speaking of people who knew their roles and play them well, dude, how about fucking Baron Corbin?
Oh, my God. And for those of you who have been asking for it, we have a Baron Corbin moveset update.
It's our new segment, which we're debuting right here on the SGP podcast.
I wish we could tell you that there were a lot of new moves, but I only counted two new moves.
What were they?
Yung Snake Eyes. Yung
Big Boot and the Lariat.
Yeah. That's pretty three. Much it. Sorry. Three.
And so, his finisher, the End of Days.
End of Days.
No, but everybody knows that.
Because we know that.
Right, so now the moveset update as it stands contains four moves.
Which was more than Roman Reigns at the start.
He had five moves.
No. Did he have five moves?
He had five moves.
Yeah, you have to count the strike. Five.
Oh, yeah. You have to count striking.
Yeah, you have to count the strike.
But this guy does get in some punches.
Not Baron.
During his other matches. But we haven't done an update for that.
Not really.
We haven't even seen his other matches.
Yeah.
What other matches about?
On NXT.
Really? I just knew he did the...
End of Days. You know. It would take him like, what, 22 seconds.
But he gets a clinch. Do we count the clinch?
It's not a move.
It's not a move. That's a transition.
Yeah. So,
okay, so five moves. Four moves.
Four moves as it stands. That's the Baron Corbin moveset update. And I have to agree with almost everybody on social media who's been saying that they like the slow burn movement of the Corbin-Dempsey feud.
Yeah, there's only so much time you get on NXT episodes. So,
it's a slow burn.
Yeah, and it's good for both Baron and Bull in that we already know that Bull's a pretty decent wrestler.
Yeah.
But we don't know this about Baron yet. And if he has any weaknesses, he has time to improve.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I think you know, moving forward, we'll be seeing a lot more offense out of him.
All right, are we good with Baron Corbin?
We're good with Baron Corbin.
We're good,
Corbin.
All right. Sorry, Ty Dillinger, thanks for coming. And
the people,
now...
The other NXT guys really love Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, for some reason. I mean...
Oh, he's been here a while.
Yeah, he tag-teamed with Jason Jordan for
yeah,
a while.
Yeah, he's with Jason
not
Jordan
that,
right now.
He's formerly Gavin Spears of ECW. So,
true.
So he's a vet. He's a vet, actually.
All right, so next up on the card, can we call this the graduation match of the Ascension?
Not yet.
I would say it is.
I think...
Because that's what I thought when I was watching this.
I think they have one more round of NXT tapings in them.
Uh-huh.
But they've already started, airing promos on SmackDown and Raw.
Kaya feeling ko na ito na yung graduation match na. It was kind of nice, though, that it came against Finn Balor and Hideo Itami.
But holy shit, that Itami entrance.
Holy shit, that Balor entrance!
I know.
I was setting him up, you fucker.
Tangina, dude.
I was about to say, for all of you who didn't see the entrance of Itami, he comes out in a fucking robe. Classic.
Yeah, he looked like somebody from Mortal Kombat. Not just Mortal Kombat.
From fucking Dragon Ball Z, papi.
Oh, yeah, dude. Actually.
I thought he looked like Shang Tsung, so.
Yeah, naisip ko Mortal Kombat. Hindi ko lang maalala kung sino ba sa Mortal Kombat. So it's probably Shang Tsung. So you had Hideo Itami coming out like that. And then you get Finn Balor.
Finn fucking Balor.
Who just upped the ante with the fucking body paint.
And, okay, you know what? They're calling it war paint.
Okay lang. It sounds badass.
Okay lang. I like it. But
he was like,
I like it, Maggle.
But chant of the night came after that.
I know.
Once they settled, the marking out chant.
No, I thought that was from Anna.
No, that was from that.
Okay,
that from
yeah.
That.
I thought I first heard it.
I rewatched it this morning.
Okay.
The crowd, the NXT crowd, and props to them for being a fucking awesome crowd, started chanting marking out once they saw him come out with that.
Dude. There were so many things that we could rave about in that match. How about the GTSTs?
Oh!
Nigga!
Motherfucker!
And that part where Hideo basically took back the knee plus.
Yes.
The knee
yes.
plus.
God damn it. So now we have, as a subplot, Hideo Itami taking back moves
His
stolen.
Moves.
stolen by WWE main guys and former champions at that.
Right, right. And I'm glad that, you know, Triple H has actually let Hideo Itami use these moves,
I want to see a fucking GTS.
Na-execute talaga, di ba?
Kung magawa niya yan, and I don't know if it comes in his championship match, should he get one, or towards his debut when it comes, but holy shit, the moment it happens, we will be marking out hard.
You know, it's been said before that Finn Balor doesn't want to stay in developmental for too long. So I say we enjoy this for as long as we can, because
while it's here,
it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. It's only a matter of time before he gets demoted to the main roster.
The truth is, Finn fucking Balor is a golden god in NXT.
My only problem with that is, with the whole feud actually, is that for guys who are graduating to the main roster, and I guess this is only an observation for those who actually watch NXT.
Yeah.
But it's a growing audience, eh? But it's going to be tough because Itami and Balor, just on appearance alone even, they just made the Ascension look like second-rate punks.
And they were the longest reigning NXT champions.
And now they're already coming in as, what, this decade's Legion of Doom, right?
Right.
So, I don't know, guys. Parang,
sa akin okay lang kasi parang lumalabas na reboot siya. For audiences who aren't familiar with the Ascension, I think yun yung target nila.
Well, hopefully it's a good reboot.
Hopefully.
But ako, coming from watching NXT and seeing these guys have their last hurrah being beaten by these two really over indie guys, it's gonna be tough, eh?
Is he Bo Dallas din naman, diba? That was his last hurrah, was him getting beaten by Adrian Neville.
That's true.
For the championship.
Pero Bo Dallas is kind of different. He's on a different level expectation-wise. You know he's not that good.
Right.
So you can temper your expectations. But the Ascension were so over during the time that they were dominant.
Yeah.
And now it's... That's all gone after losing to Itami and Balor.
It's a restart for them.
It's a good restart.
I hope so. Let's see where this takes them. But, you know, we got to give credit where credit was due. And all four guys torn down the house. They tore down the house. And ooh, the Ascension, they look primed.
They look ready for the main roster. I mean,
I can't wait to see them debut.
I mean,
it's an old school gimmick, yeah. And I'm ready to see that. I don't want to overthink this gimmick.
Yeah, because neither do I.
Look at it this way. Right now, there is no dominant tag team like on a level that the Ascension is at. Like, no one can physically dominate the tag team division. And I think that they're going to come in strong.
Here's to hoping. And yep. Let's see what the future holds for the Ascension as they rise. They also had an NXT Women's Championship match.
This match
was really good as well. God. Charlotte and Sasha Banks. Sad though that Ro and I, while we were watching it, we spent more time nitpicking on Sasha's appearance. Why are we nitpicking on my girl?
Somebody pointed it out on Twitter, and now I couldn't stop seeing it.
The fucking braid
that made her look like, you know, Latina female LeBron.
No, it made her look like Latina Alicia Keys.
Fine. No, but Alicia Keys isn't that bad.
Sorry, Sasha.
It was a great match.
Great match. Sasha looked like a golden goddess.
The thing about this like women's championship boss. Match is ito yung gusto natin makita from the divas on the main roster.
Yeah.
They were given time that the main roster divas aren't given.
To be fair, though, I think it bears noting that Charlotte and Sasha, and by extension, maybe Bailey, maybe Becky, they're given that amount of time because they're honestly empirically better than the divas on the main roster.
Empirically.
Papi. Except for maybe Paige and Natty. Emma. Natty. AJ.
Emma's actually.
Yeah, I said Emma.
Yeah, just said Emma.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Damning the name drop.
Pero in general, the NXT girls are better than the main roster girls.
And that doesn't say a lot about the main roster girls, but it probably does say...
Not by much, but they are better.
Are these girls ready, though? Is Charlotte ready to get called up? I think Charlotte's ready.
I just want them to actually treat her like the champion that she is.
But looking at Charlotte right now, to make a basketball comparison, I wouldn't be surprised if anybody compared her to fucking Anthony Davis.
She has a unibrow?
We're not going there, though. But di ba parang the level of growth in such a short amount of time. What is this, her second year? as a wrestler.
Yeah, technically her second year as a wrestler. Professional wrestler.
But right, she's been a gymnast. Sure.
And she's this good already? Parang Anthony Davis or Damian Lillard yung dating ni
Charlotte
right now. More
Anthony Davis. Because like, if we're talking about progression and the sheer...
Natural athletic ability?
That's what I was about to say. It goes to show that Charlotte is actually... you know, genetically superior than a lot of these people. And it's not just a gimmick thing. She is really good.
You brought up this concern about them treating her as well on the main roster. I think being Flair's daughter is no joke. Parang,
and she doesn't take it lightly.
And you cannot fuck that up when you are the daughter of Ric Flair.
Right. Yeah.
The Nature Boy.
Maybe okay lang if you're the daughter of, you know, Jim Neidhart, who wasn't that big of a star.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, the Hart Foundation were beloved, but, you know, Jim Neidhart was not a main eventer. Or maybe the daughter of Sweet Soraya.
Yeah.
Who is virtually unknown in the States.
Right.
So, yeah, I think Charlotte is the first of her kind. The daughter of this huge legend. I don't think that they have the balls to fuck that up.
What if Aurora Rose Levesque became a wrestler?
Ayun, isa pa yun.
Matagal pa yun, pare.
Yun talaga hindi mo maano.
You can't mess siguro, that up either.
Siguro ano, Daniel Bryan's kids with Brie Bella.
But what about, no, I mean.
Or what about.
If we're talking about these kids.
And you know,
what about Aiden English and.
No, what happened to Shaw, dude? What happened to Shaw Guerrero?
Yeah, I was just saying that.
Married. Shaw just got engaged today. Congrats, Shaw.
Congratulations, Shaw and Aiden English.
Aiden English ba talaga yun?
Oo.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, man. Hindi ko namukhan.
No, ako rin. Parang, I think a lot of us did not notice it was Aiden English.
Holy fuck, Aiden English is marrying into the Guerrero family.
Yeah.
Fucking
Aiden English will spawn the fourth generation Guerreros.
Putang ina, bro. That's fucking awesome. The fourth generation of Guerreros will be gentlemanly. Shit.
I just saw this comment on SGP, on that post, on my post.
Yeah.
The new slogan will be pilfer, bamboozle, and... I don't know. Deceive, bamboozle, and pilfer.
I like that.
Props.
Eddie will be proud. You know, somewhere Latino,
but,
he's smiling.
To be fair, I did not notice this as well. And my boys on Twitter did not notice it as well. You say, you're not used to Aiden English wearing a shirt and jeans and sneakers.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
That's not very
true.
Gentlemanly.
That's fucking awesome.
So, back to our evolution.
So, you know, we've marked out over the Women's Championship match. Which is,
great,
you know,
match. Great match.
Great match.
An absolute great finish. I have to say, natural selection from the top rope.
Yeah.
Looks fucking
super
great.
RKO,
super
RKO, man.
Super natural selection. You're damn right. Now let's go to our super main event.
Yo. Yes!
I know you've been waiting, Kamus.
Let's do it!
Sami Zayn taking on Adrian Neville for the NXT Championship. If Zayn lost, he would have quit NXT. By now, you know that did not happen because Sami Zayn finally climbed the top
of
the mountain.
And as we said last week, when you set that kind of stipulation, there is no way,
no way
that guy is going to lose.
No way.
Unless he did something wrong, right? And they're kicking
out
of the company.
No way.
And that moment, I mean, they built up very well to that moment. That match was great.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm starting to get at a loss for words because this is my match of the year. I voted for it on the SGP podcast year-end awards. Shut up. Let me have my moment. The build-up for the match, amazing. The match itself lived up to expectations, which is
for sure.
Rarely the case.
But I think Sami Zayn and also Adrian Neville have been delivering consistently all year.
These guys have been MVPs for the fucking NXT roster. Their match, they've been doing dark matches on Raw tapings.
Yep.
They've been doing it on SmackDown tapings. They've been doing it on Main Event.
Yeah, and there are no more brass rings to grab.
There are no more brass rings to grab after this match because holy fucking hell, they stole them all.
Hey, we were talking about this before we went on the air. We did not know which was the bigger match. Was it this match or Daniel Bryan winning at WrestleMania 30?
Oh, shit, man.
And the thing is, this one, and we said it earlier, we said it off air, that this one, this NXT match felt a lot more cathartic.
Yeah, it did. I think because... it helps that this might have always been the plan. And we all felt that. it was bound to happen sooner or later, and we were not treated to, you know, yeah, these
unfulfilled
weird
teases
with Daniel Bryan and the Authority.
Right, yeah. Right.
It was not spoiled then, and it was the very first. And not to take anything away from Bryan's win, but before Bryan won at WrestleMania, he was winning, you know, the championship twice, only to be screwed out.
Right. So, para may precedent na if it does happen again, it's probably not for real.
Exactly. And,
but for Zayn, it's his very first win.
It's his very first solo championship in the WWE.
Yeah, and there were no, it was not tainted by any, you know, screw job moments prior to our evolution.
I guess on a personal note, what makes the Zayn win and that moment more cathartic for me is the fact that I actually got to watch it live. The thing about the Daniel Bryan match was, after he beat Triple H, I kind of knew he had to win the main event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I had to text it into you.
And yeah, Kamas had to text it to me because I had to attend a meeting. And so I wasn't able to catch it live. So I got to catch it like later that night before you and I recorded the very first episode of the podcast. The thing about the Zayn win, though, was I was just really gripped. And I knew that Zayn losing was a very real possibility because they could have used it as an out for him to graduate.
Yeah.
To the main roster.
To demote.
Or to demote him. Right. But, you know, just to have it happen and to finally have that moment, I didn't expect that I would tear up. Because,
before we even get to that, let's talk about what happened during the match, the potential heel turn.
Oh, yeah. That was a really great story.
The story within the story that...
Right. The NXT Championship belt being
came into play. Came into play as a foreign object.
And Sami Zayn had the temptation of whether or not he was going to use it on Neville because the referee was down.
Cena was down. And you know what? This type of situation, we've seen it 100 times done.
Yeah, right. Cena has had a handful of these moments in the past few years, right?
Yeah, where turn or not, and then he just gets the shit beaten out of him.
Yeah, and technically Cena did the same thing Zayn did, but
this felt so much more different.
Yeah, because I think the possibility was really real. Zayn sold the possibility well.
And
now, it was... I honestly did not know if he was going to do it or not.
Because he could have, and it would have been justified. Yeah. Although, and he would have bought into it.
Although he had a lot of time to do other legal things.
Yeah.
Right, like actually put him. Another move on Neville and pin him. But the ref sucks.
My favorite chant of the night, this ref sucks.
So you had that, and then you had other big spots like that. His signature corner DDT through the ropes.
Yun. Oh, God. Beautiful.
Which was very beautiful.
Which he could not do here.
Right. Not at MCS.
Not in the PWR ring.
But Sami Zayn did pull that off. And then when he finally hit the Helluva kick one last time and scored the 1-2-3, God damn it.
That finish was perfect because it quickly, I don't know, it quickly transitioned from the whole ref bump, you know, personal crisis moment. It did not take very long, and that's what I loved about that finish.
Right, they didn't drag it for too long, and then they just let Sammy have his moment.
And what a moment it was.
What a moment it was.
Yeah. I mean, okay, for those of you who do know me, I'm a very emotional guy. I do get wrapped up in a lot of things.
Dami feelings.
But putang ina ito, this is the first time in, like, I mean, I cried a bit when Taker lost.
Really?
Just a bit.
You did?
I just like solo tier.
Single tier. Single manly tier.
When Daniel Bryan won, I was, you know, hysterical.
Uh-huh.
Incredibly hysterical, happy. Two tears.
Right.
Two tears.
Sure.
I was fucking bawling after this match. Like, you know, happy tears. Like I fucking love it, man. Because my boy won the big one.
Yo, I'm not as big a Sami Zayn fan as you are, but I was. But really the story was relatable. Well. Right. So, like, and then when when the locker room came out, you know, Hideo Itami, you know, Enzo and Cass, and Tyler Breeze, dude,
Tyler Breeze, fucking.
Okay, wait. Let's call it out now. Tyler Breeze, fucking, just came out as a heel.
Had no business
being there. But respect to him for showing respect.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked that touch.
Meanwhile, I could not cry any tears of joy.
Apparently...
You're a heartless son of
a
bitch.
No, I'm not a heartless son of a bitch.
You don't have these emotions.
Yeah, you're not capable of expressing emotion.
Excuse me?
Mr. GM.
Excuse me.
You're already berating talent like that?
Yo.
Incapable of expressing emotion. Seriously? No, it's easier for me.
Maybe just that emotion.
it's easier for me to express emotion when I'm sad, but it's hard for me to be happy. My body does not physically understand the concept of tears of happiness. You know, I don't know. No, I'm happy. I'm exhilarated. I'm really, you know, I'm really on a high when something nice happens.
Yeah.
But something this nice. Not even one single manly tear.
It does not compute. My body does not compute manly tears of joy. Not manly tears. Tears of
that
joy.
That sucks, man.
This was...
I can cry when I'm sad, but not when I'm
happy.
This
was just such a pure moment. Like,
yeah.
Like, it just felt right.
It's one of those, it's still real to me, damn it moments.
True.
And it was glorious.
And it was very, very glorious. They did it right. The entire roster did it right. Gave him his moment. Gave him a hug it out with Adrian Neville at the end.
And who else?
Pat Patterson
and his best friend in the world, Kevin Owens. They got the hug it out.
Oh, yeah.
Just before
the turn.
Oh,
dude, ang galing. I mean, like, I was still
we
crying.
We did not expect that. So
I
soon.
Called it.
Right.
No, already?
I called it. I called it on the fucking SGP podcast, episode 36. Replay that shit.
Did you call it, Ben, that it was happening at our evolution?
I called it there. Replay the tape. You will see it. I called this spot, and fucking hell, it was beautiful.
Yo, but is it for the title, though?
It should be for the title, goddammit. I mean, like...
Why? What should it be for the title?
You know what? Just going through that again, I was still crying. They were still hugging each other. And then when Kevin Owens just turned on Zayn, puta na, tumigil bigla yung luha ko. Parang, uy, tangina. This just got real, really fast.
I don't know if I was waiting for it. I don't think I was.
I wasn't waiting for it.
And you know what? Okay.
I thought that was that. Nobody ever messes with a huge celebration segment.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. They were actually... It happened after the copyright. The copyright came up.
That's
and
right.
You thought, that's it. Okay, let's go home. And then he turns.
Galing, ang galing.
Kevin Owens was a face for a good 2 hours.
Is this the first time they've played with the programming format?
I think it is.
Yes, it is.
Damn.
Good job, Hunter.
You deserve a fruit basket.
Hunter, you the real MVP.
Yeah.
And okay, I just have to say, long-term effects, we get Generico Steen round 5.
Oh yeah.
This will be the fifth year that it happens in December that they start the feud again.
Shit.
Coming from their days in the indies with PWG and ROH. Holy shit, we're going to be getting this again. And it's like the Joker says, we must be destined to be doing this forever. And I think that, you know, while it's as good and as fresh as it is in the WWE, I say go with it. It's great.
You know what? If you aren't excited for NXT yet, this should be more than enough reason to get you excited for NXT now, because we've only just begun with all these wonderful things. And I don't know. There was this post that came in the SGP Facebook group today, and I'd rather go to developmental. At this point, I can't help but agree. And, you know, just watching NXT gives me a bigger high than watching
Here's the thing. NXT right now is the best indie fed in the world.
It's true.
Would you call it an indie fed?
Pretty much is.
How is it an indie fed? They're funded by Hunter and WWE.
But that's not what I mean. It's independent. Yeah. It's the style.
Yeah, it's the style. It's the feel. It's the look. It's the wrestling style. Not just the writing. It's unfair than for major leagues who actually deliver on the writing. But yeah, it's mostly about the look and the style, because it's very small, very intimate at Full Sail Arena.
Right.
And the fact that you have a lot of indie stars coming in and or already there, it's just a huge indie environment, and the fact that it's funded with the WWE resources makes it the best indie fed in the world,
and not to mention WWE production team.
And you know exactly.
Well, I mean, like, the video packages that came out for Kevin Steen are some of the best I've seen in a long time.
Oh, but in general, the WWE video packages are the best ever.
And exactly. It's something that we don't talk about a lot because
it's a given.
It's a given at this point. I mean, you do the comparison with what... Okay. The closest thing that I can compare it to is what TNA did with the Bully Ray reveal for Aces and Eights, which was pretty good. But the thing is, no one else comes close anymore. No one. Like
no in one production else come value, close to you.
In production value.
Damn it, Joe.
In production value, god damn it. There's nothing that beats it.
Exactly. All which right. is why, again, best indie fed in the world.
I guess that's...
And they might even be paid indie fed. Money.
Best fed in the world? Quite possibly.
Actually. And again, like I said, is this... A meta play by Hunter. A meta power play
Yo,
by Hunter.
It better fucking be.
I think it is. No, I think it is.
I would love for it to be, just so he proves the point that things have to be changing in the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's more of a pot shot to Vince. Na, you
this
still
is what
think,
it can be.
No, you still think you got what it takes to run a global wrestling company? Your move, old man, and we got TLC, and TLC what it is.
Yeah, and the thing was, right before TLC, there was an actual talent-only meeting
before
that
Raw.
Happened. Oh, before Raw, I'm sorry. Before Raw, it happened that John Cena held a talent-only meeting just to say that, you know, you see what these fuckers over there in Florida are doing? Why can't we be like that?
And it's kind of weird for somebody like John Cena to be saying that. I don't know. I mean, for somebody whose security is protected naman. And
yeah,
like,
he's got a job for life.
Right, right. So, I don't know. I don't think John Cena was the best person to actually say that shit.
But the thing is...
And to bring that up.
They've realized... Main roster has realized that they are fucking coming for you, nigga. And there is nothing that they have done since this show. They had... They
People
had a
have been trying.
They had... Raw, they had SmackDown. Have any of these three shows compared even close?
Hey, but again,
they've tried.
No, yeah, they've tried. But now that tells you that the problem isn't with talent. It isn't with in-ring talent. It's with booking because
and Vince.
Theoretically, the guys at NXT are not
they're
better
not shackled
in the
by Vince.
No, they're not better in the ring. Then who is on the main roster?
Right, because if you're just going to blame it solely on the talent, then that's very
when
unfair.
When you look at guys,
Ziggler, Cesaro, Tyson
when you look at guys
Kidd.
Like you know CJ Parker, the Vaudevillains, you know the
Baron
Ascension,
Corbin.
Those guys technically aren't better than the main roster.
Yeah, because you have guys like Ziggler, Cesaro, and Kidd who kill themselves every time they're out there.
And the argument that I'm trying to make here is that. They are aware that the regard that we are holding these guys with.
Again, I don't think it's a talent problem anymore. It's a management problem.
So, Vince, if you're listening to the podcast, take note.
Which you probably aren't, because you're not listening to anybody.
Hey! Hey!
Nice one.
Thank you.
Nice one.
Your son-in-law is coming for you.
Yes, son-in-law is coming for you, old man.
And I guess with that, that brings us to the end of this week's SGP podcast. What a week, right? So much to talk about, so much to mark about, so much to, you know, just enjoy. And it
so
really is a great time to be a Pinoy wrestling fan.
I guess there's no way we're doing a pick of the week this week, right? There's too much good
stuff
happening.
Let's do it now. Let's do it now.
Sami Zayn, motherfucker.
And there, that's what... Fuck you, Stan. That's my boy.
Too slow, bitch.
Okay, if you're going to call that...
That's pick of the week. It's unanimous. Like, I think it's unanimous.
Is it, Ro? Is it?
It has to be. That's why I said that's...
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Then
let's
call it. Let's call it. Our unanimous pick of the week is Sami Zayn versus Adrian Neville at NXT R Revolution.
All right.
I guess.
And let's book that. Book it.
Even
book
the PWR that. Guys would pick that.
Would
yeah, they
agree,
fucking
yeah.
marked out did it on the line also.
And they fucking you know pulled off a great terminus. But I'm sorry, boys, Zayn and Neville just took it. So yeah, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you so much for basically hanging out with us, for downloading the podcast, and thank you so much for you know just. Introducing yourselves at Terminus. Of course, thank you to our friends from Mellow 94.7 for always hosting us, for always having us over, letting us use their equipment. And we are looking forward to having you. Of course, let us know what you think about us here on the podcast. Reach us on Twitter. I'm at Stan947.
At Caveman Camus.
At Roazwar.
So those are the ways for you to get in touch with us. Of course, the podcast has a Twitter feed as well, at the SGP Podcast.
Yoon.
And you can like... our page.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
We're going
on Facebook. It's facebook.com/thesgppodcast.
Someone's been listening to Talk is Jericho too much.
Yeah.
Podcast
Even
of the
I
year.
Would not. I love page, but I would not do that on my own.
Speaking of podcast of the year, that's one of the SGP awards, which we're giving out next week on, well, on the SGP podcast.
Right here.
Better stay tuned for that. That's one of our holiday specials. And our second holiday special is a quickie. It's an entrance theme of the year award show as well.
Yeah, we will explain that when we get the show.
There.
Yeah.
Right now, we got to call it a night. I got to get some sleep. Simbanga B is killing me, but I'm doing it for a good cause. So, you know, I just got to get my ass some sleep.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas. And peace out.
Peace.
Joy to the world.